numbers, plants, animals, fun, colours, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the secret kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Nicholas Commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight's always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Conversations with Eagle Flower, this first day of November 2023. As always, I like to welcome the listeners of Revolution Radio who do come from far and wide, from around this world, with many cultures, creeds, and nationalities. And yes, we all do come to this table of life to learn from and with each other in the best possible way. We acknowledge that no race and no person is better than another, and we all experience this gift of life from our mutual creator. Again, thank you for listening to Revolution Radio and supporting us, as we are a listener-supported station. And I always like to remind everyone who is listening to check out our nav bar on our front page, which includes our schedules for Studios A and B, the archives for all of our various shows, present and previous ones, and, of course, that good old donation button. As always, I like to do a special shout-out for the chatters here. And I was going to say hello in particular to some who have been here in the recent time. We have Flippy, and let me see who else is here. Mayist has been here, Knox Merritt. I see Mona's in. Bill Johnson came in to say hello. And hey, by the way, thanks for the herbal tea. I appreciate it. But I'm sorry, I cannot get into that lotus position today. I'll just have to sit up and enjoy it. But thanks for your efforts. And I see Boy Solomon, did I say him? And Lady Horse was here a few minutes ago, too. Okay, as always, I like to get a heads up on if anyone's hearing me. That always helps, you know. I think at any point, or any one of us who has done a show has been talking and talking and not realizing that no one can hear us. As always, my Eagle Flower saying is, let's learn together and build our best future with clarity, strength, unity, and wisdom. First, I thought I would give you a weather report. Oh, my. You know, about 10 days ago, we had 65, 70 degree temperatures. I know everyone else's temperatures have been changing, too. But this past week's weather seriously brought in winter, and it seems like it's wanting to stay. Last Thursday, all 24 hours from midnight to midnight, snow fell, leaving about 10 inches locally, and I know there was more reported above northwest above us. We also had some northerly wind added to the look and the feel of winter. And thanks, Bill. I appreciate that. Since then, our day temperatures have remained at or below freezing. Oh, yeah, we got rain before the snow. So after the storm, any area that was not immediately cleared off and adequately cleared off has a thick layer of ice. And I was out there today, and the ice I'm looking at is like well over 2 inches thick. We got patches of it around quite, it looked like a skater's rink out back here. And, of course, the warm ground was thawing the snow as it was coming down, which really made it a mess. Well, on Monday, we had high sustained winds at 30 miles per hour with gusts of from 40 to 45 miles per hour. And the tall evergreens were doing that crazy twisting dance with every layer of the branches swinging sideways opposite the other. And that's quite a scene when you see it, because especially as we're getting into where the wood is more, shall we say, brittle, I often wonder, and they amaze me. They stay intact. I haven't seen anyone of them lose a branch yet. Well, yesterday's morning's temperature dropped down to 5 degrees with a wind chill factor of -5. But the sky was clear with sun. At least it was for a while. And hopefully we can continue having warmer weather. And they keep changing our forecast. And I noticed today now they've upped it again. So it's looking like we're going to get into the low 40s for the next few days, but mostly overcast. We're not going to be seeing much sun at all. And, of course, there's another snow shower forecast. I think it's a week from now, if I remember correctly. So, anyhow. Oh, that's right. Our humidity remains between 85 and 100%. Go figure. Now, these are not record temperatures or record snowfalls for this time of the year. And our average temperatures are reported as being at 47 for the day and 25 at night. But it's the feeling that I'm getting is that winter has come into our back door and intends to stay. So what do these northerly winds signify? Winds of change, what do they portend? My initial sense is that these winds say it's time to bring in some fresh air, to push away the toxic sludge that weighs so heavy on us and on Mother Earth. Are we being ushered into a long winter season for us to regenerate, to dream, to clear away the dross, the toxins, and the parasites? What can be more purifying, literally and allegorically, than a good round of snow? Then maintaining the temperatures at a low level in order to force an early change of season, to hasten winter's hibernation and of covering or protecting the natural for next season's growth. And thanks, everybody in chat. It's nice to see everyone there. And that includes lavender and mace. Well, I didn't quite know what to make today's theme, so since today is the 1st of November, I decided to call it November Begins the Time of Gratitude of Thanksgiving. What is more appropriate than to begin this November month with a note of inner silence, of gently remembering the many reasons for harvesting and of inspired planning for future seeding? A quote by Gladys Tabor, "November wind has a sound from any other. It is easy to imagine the cave of the winds in some mythical northland where the winds are born and the gods send them out to conquer the quiet air." Yes, winds within our souls. Wind of Mother Earth that can be tranquil or not. And here is a very short little poem by Andrew Pacholik. "May winds of change meander through your heart and home and bring a few of extra special good luck charms and bless and keep you from all harm." While changing of seasons, they're ebbing and flowing, we have the opportunity to use these changes to our advantage. And what do you choose to embrace? Okay. Here's a very short Chinese proverb. "When the winds of change blow, some people build walls and others build windmills." How can we best utilize this season and to gently allow these winds of change to pass through us while removing what does not belong? And Andy Grove says, "The lesson is we all need to expose ourselves to the winds of change." Well, that's enough of the winds for a while. And by the way, it does not matter what the calendar says as to when the seasons change. Not up here, it doesn't. We just kind of look outside, and then we know. Okay, moving along here. I decided we haven't heard from Sarah von Breathnach in a while. She's the one that does the 365 days of meditation. So I thought I'd see what she had for the 1st of November, and I found it to be very insightful. So let's hear what she has to say. And she entitles it, "Embracing the Ebb," beginning with a quote from Alexander Pope. "The season, when to come and when to go, to sing or cease to sing, we never know." And Sarah begins, "There once was a mighty queen with a short fuse. One autumn, as the year was beginning to ebb, the queen fell into a deep melancholy. She could neither eat nor slumber, and tears of an unknown origin fell frequently, which infuriated her, triggering angry fits that made those around her quake in fear. Each day the queen summoned a new advisor from her esteemed circle of sages to explain the cause of her baffling condition. In they came and out they went, the court physician, the stargazer, the psychic, the alchemist, the herbalist, the philosopher. all were dismissed as charlatans for their inability to unravel the mystery of the royal black spell. They counted themselves lucky to have only their illustrious careers shortened. "Surely there must be one among you who knows the source of my suffering," the queen cried in despair. But her pathetic wail was greeted only with awkward silence, for all were wary of her wrath. Finally, the royal gardener was moved by compassion for the poor woman and slowly approached her throne. "Come into the garden, Majesty, beyond the walls of your self-imprisonment, and I will disclose your dilemma." The queen was so desperate she did as she was bid. When she went out to the garden for the first time in many weeks, she noticed that the bright, vivid colors of summer had faded, and the garden seemed bare. But it was not, she saw, wholly bereft of beauty, for it was regal in autumn's brilliant hues of crimson and gold, and the air was refreshingly cool and crisp, and the sky pure blue. "Speak, gardener," the queen ordered. "But choose your words carefully, for I seek the truth." "Majesty, it is not your body or your mind that is ailing. It is your soul that is in need of healing. For while you are a mighty and powerful queen, you are not divine. You are suffering from a human condition that afflicts us all. Earthly souls ebb and flow in sorrow and joy according to the seasons of emotion, just as the seasons of the natural world move through the cycle of life, death, and rebirth. These are the days to be grateful for the harvest of the heart, however humble it might be, and to prepare for the coming of the year's closure. Even now, the season of daylight diminishes, and the time of darkness increases. But the true light is never extinguished in the natural world, and it is the same in your soul. Embrace the ebb, my beloved queen, and do not fear the darkness, for as night follows day, the light will return, and you will know contented hours once again. Of this I am sure. The unhappy queen considered this wisdom thoughtfully and asked the gardener how she possessed the secret knowledge of inner peace during the seasons of emotion. And the gardener led her to a brass sundial, and it read, "This too shall pass." Yes, embrace the ebb and do not fear the darkness. While maintaining this general theme of seasonal changes, I decided to continue reading about the polar bear to complete the story from last week. And let us continue to expand our horizons and open up our ideas to the vastness of this life's splendor. How else can we shake loose from the dogmas passed along for centuries and millennia? One quick example. Yesterday, someone quoted the famous verse of when becoming an adult to put away childish things. Yet, is it more correct to say that we should maintain these so-called childish ways of exploring the great unknown? Otherwise, we end up, as we see today, with most people afraid of the unknown. Is it quite possible that the more correct way of experiencing this world and our lives is to use our so-called childish wonder, balancing it with mature possibility thinking. Something to consider. And how often have we also heard of the reason that babies and children are such a delight is because they're closer to their natural spirit? Okay, let's go on to the polar bear spirit. What I thought I would do, because I actually wasn't able to complete this last week, is I'll backtrack a couple of paragraphs to play catch-up for anybody who hasn't been listening in on this topic. And I am reading from Don Bauman Brunk's book of Animal Voices. It's her personal journey of becoming familiar with animal communication. And she begins, after the conversation with Sam and Max, now Max is her dog, and Sam is an animal communicator, my confidence began to build again. Slowly, self-doubt was easing its grip, allowing a certain amount of trust to take hold. Slowly, too, I was learning that perhaps it didn't matter so much whether a dog was once a bear or a bear a dog. Maybe the important thing was what that animal had to say. Hannah's observation that polar bears are one of the few animals who choose to live in the far north away from humans still lingered in my mind. If these majestic animals chose to speak to humans, what would they want us to know? When I asked Nancy LaPierre if she'd help me find out, she agreed. And the being with whom Nancy connected was not a living polar bear, but spirit of polar bear. In metaphysical terms, this being might be thought of as an oversoul or central energetic common to all polar bears. As Nancy explained it, each individual within a species is like a ray off of a central sun of that species. While one can go through an individual to get to an oversoul level, this route was more direct. With the understanding that Nancy would be using a symbolic manner of perception in order to convey the essence of polar bear wisdom, we began our talk with the bit of information that Hannah had related, the idea that polar bears had magnets on their feet. Spirit of polar bear shows himself being upright and explains there is an open chakra at the bottom of the feet. The magnets on their feet are stronger on their hind legs than they are on the front legs. Within the center of the earth is a particular magnet as well, which is compatibly charged to the ones that we all carry on our feet in order that we are held here with our physical bodies. Excuse me. And does this, by the way, give us a better understanding of when people say to ground, what that's about too? I'm going to get a drink of water. Hold on. Okay. We all have energetic magnets on our feet? And the response from the spirit polar bear is, any living creature does, more particularly life forms with feet, as opposed to fish, and less so with birds and animals of flight. Not all beings are aware of the bottoms of their feet and what happens electromagnetically by way of giving and receiving from the earth. Bears and other animals that are sure-footed are much more aware of that relationship. And Nancy commented, I think our term grounded is what he means here. Many humans aren't even into their knees in terms of their awareness, and some not even into their hips. So without an awareness of that part of our physical vehicle, we cut off our relationship to the earth. And the spirit polar bear goes on. If humans were a little more grounded and more fully present in the body and aware of the magnetic exchange between the actual organic earth and the physical body, the polluting and the raping of the earth would not be done. In terms of healing, it's best to get the being in the body. Each individual's personal healing will result in a global effect, in a lot of changes in how you move upon the earth. As for holding the earth together, polar bears have a particular energy they bring to the planet, which is part of a larger pattern that every being contributes to. There is a particular medicine they have, just as there is for all the different life forms on the earth. We all have a part that we play. Polar bears do not literally hold the earth together, but represent a much stronger connection of energetic and spiritual applications between heaven and earth than some other species. How is that? They are connected to the magnetic grid. Magnetic grid? Can we talk about what is the magnetic grid, both in the earth and in the feet, and the connection between the two, and especially the spiritual component of that? Nancy's laugh startled me into realizing the intensity of my persistent inquiries. Are you beginning to fear my questions? I asked. Yes, she exclaimed as we launched into laughter. So too was I aware of an element of surrealism. Two women who had never met, one in Alaska, one in Connecticut, connected by a phone line asking questions of a polar bear spirit. And Nancy said, I'm just kidding. I get to learn too. We're going to go deep here. And so the polar spirit bear continues. It's difficult to describe in a particular scientific way that makes sense, but there is a magnetic grid or etheric body of the earth, which is both above and within. There are certain life forms, both in spirit, physical form, and within the earth, that have a talent for helping to maintain the grid in a particular way. You'll hear the term holding the energy. That, in effect, is what it means. So, said Nancy, holding the energy means that one is an anchor on one of the grid lines. But it's not even conscious. It's just an ability of this being's spiritual makeup. It's as if you were building your house and wanted someone who had electrical ability as opposed to someone who had designing ability. Though there are different talents that help keep everything in divine place. This is just one of those skills that bears in general and other vertical beings, such as trees and certain humans, have the ability to participate in. For humans, you will usually find them to be very grounded, very aware, and sensitive to earthly matters, and even in the body of the earth themselves. And now we're quoting, I'm looking down here to see who's talking, I'm not sure. I think it might be Nancy. As for polar bears, generally speaking, they very much enjoy being in their bodies and being fully present. As I speak with this polar bear spirit, I'm aware of such body awareness that I can feel the layer of protective fat that's just under the skin and contributes to them being able to stay warm when they go into hibernation. They even have the ability to put their consciousness to that layer of their body And if they did not, they would not be able to sustain that layer of fat. It's necessary for them to have a very strong body consciousness in order to survive. That's a part of the medicine they offer to humans who want to feel an alignment or spiritual connection with them. They could teach the gift of being fully present and really grounded into this earth plane. That is why it is so important for humans to provide sanctuary for these animals, because when they go extinct, we do not have an outward symbol to give us guidance. And the spirit of Polar Bear added this: there's nothing in your objective reality left to learn from. The pleasure of seeing an animal is what usually happens first, before someone senses an alignment. At the point one begins to follow their fascination, they begin to enjoy the medicine and teaching of that particular animal. This is very important for an individual to come back to wholeness, to use their objective world and all the things in it to align with, so that one can understand those parts of oneself and actually take that power and build it within as well. When animals go extinct, you are missing a part of the whole. You are missing something in your objective reality that would contribute to your being whole. Other animals and communicators had also alluded to this, that by losing a connection with any animal species, we lose insight into that aspect of ourselves, and this is the author speaking here. The consequences are enormous, for by any animal species going extinct, we lose a unique connection and thereby the ability to integrate that wisdom. Question: have polar bears taken on a new task with regard to certain earth changes? The answer is twofold. Yes, we participate in the earth changes, but just as have all beings that are here, as vehicles we have facilitated bringing in, either consciously or unconsciously, a particular vibration of energy that is especially assisting those individuals who are grounded in this way, because we transfer those energies from heaven. That's the term that can convey this for you, through the body and then down into the earth and vice versa. We take a particular energy from the earth and it moves through our body and then back to heaven. We can be the transmuters and the facilitators of this. Humans also can do this, and some have intentionally offered to do that. Bears on the earth are not as conscious of this information that is coming through. They are more happy to just be and allow, and may or may not be aware in this dimension of their service, but this is part of their service. Question: when spirit of polar bear speaks about heaven, does he mean that in a spiritual way or as a particular star system? Answer: think of the star system Polaris. Look to the name. Once again, your language speaks more strongly than you are aware. Polaris has the name polar, meaning significantly connected with polarity and poles, as well as that particular star system. The star system of Polaris is an exchanging place where other energies come and are stepped down in order to come here. We are part of a universal plan that is interconnected all the way back to the oneness. So it doesn't need to be that specific in terms of heaven. It encompasses a spiritual awareness as well as an energetic happening. Your spiritual awareness actually creates the energetic happening anyway. It's all interconnected. As we thanked Spirit of Polar Bear, Nancy told me that she saw him fishing And Nancy went on to describe it. He has a long fishing pole and stands outside of this huge white ice cave. He's very droll, very matter-of-fact, curious and interested, but not all warm and fuzzy. Still, he's pleasant. He just sort of crosses his bottom leg and goes back to fishing, and he loves fish. I almost get the idea that he could be joining Bill out there on the floor with his herbal tea and everything. Now, I was thinking of skipping around in this book, but she interrelates everything so darn much all the time. It's almost impossible to do it where anyone who hears it can make sense out of it, because if you skip one area, then she's always talking about it five pages forward and so on. So anyhow, the next chapter is being a cat and a light worker. And Violet is the cat's name. Violet is a Siamese cat who lives with communicator Netta Whittles in Connecticut. When I first made contact with Netta, she told me that both Violet and Echo, an Arabian mare, would be willing to talk with me. As Violet began answering my many questions, I was impressed by the detail of her descriptions. Violet spoke of past lives, her fondness for the feline form, and the series of events that led her to find Netta, all with the artistic flourish of a storyteller. In the following interview, Violet and Netta reveal, via their personal story, how animals work in a variety of forms to help humans expand consciousness and more actively realize our inherent connection with all life. Violet, can you tell us about yourself and how you first began communicating with Netta? And she says, I began communicating with Netta in earlier lifetimes when we were both healers. I was in feline form then. We first met at an ancient temple where I was one of the guardians. Siamese cats have guarded temples for tens of thousands of years, and that was my role at the time. Netta was new to the temple, and we had a strong affinity for each other. In those days, all humans were telepathic, at least the ones at the temples were, so there was no problem communicating. Most of them enjoyed talking with the cats, and we felines each had our favorites. The planet was very different then. Humans and animals interacted as equals and shared in the daily responsibilities of their existence. Ceremonies at the temples were performed by humans, cats, snakes, and some animals and other beings who are no longer on the earth. It was a very peaceful and loving time, and we all honored the presence, the one who is all. In later times, I have mostly been in feline form because that is my favorite. I have lived on other planets in this galaxy and spent many hundred thousands of lifetimes as a feline slash humanoid species on a distant planet. These are the dominant beings there, very sentient, artistic, tender souls, with much love and musical ability. They are quite wonderful, and I would not have chosen to be on Earth except to help in the current transformation into higher frequencies. In Netta's current lifetime, we have been together twice before. Once, when she was a young girl, I came as a black and white male cat. It was an undistinguished lifetime, primarily designed for me to be around Netta for a few years to see how she was progressing, to connect with her energies and to mark them with my own, so that she would recognize me at a later time when our meeting would be more important. When I came the second time, Netta was an adult. We bonded very deeply. Netta was immersed in her own emotional growth, so we did not speak much telepathically. Although we had a powerful connection, she left me with other humans after 7 years, and I had to adjust to living without her presence. During this time, I was beginning to clear my karma from many lifetimes on Earth so that I could resume my healing powers in a clear way when next we met. And my third time arriving in Netta's current life was difficult, but I knew that we would resume our former emotional bond. Okay, I just lost my place here. And could work together to achieve our life purposes. As a young feline, I was abandoned and had to live on my own and survive until Netta and I would be brought together. I had felt abandoned by her in my most recent previous life with her, and this situation was designed to bring that issue and trust of humans to a climax so I could resolve it. Living on Earth so many times with humans was necessary to adapt my energies so that I could be here now and do the healing work I am trained for. Still, many of these lifetimes were difficult, especially during the periods when humans and felines were enemies. After being on my own for an entire summer, a kind woman who had been feeding me encouraged me to come with her. I placed my trust in the presence that this was the correct path to reach Netta. Although I wasn't sure how we would connect. When the woman took me home, her two felines were angry that she had brought a third cat into the house, but she was kind enough to keep me separated. The very next day, Netta showed up. Our energetic link was still there, and she seemed to recognize me immediately. And she asked me my name and whether I wanted to come home with her. And I told her, my name is Violet, and yes, I did want to live with her. I wasn't feeling well in the beginning and not in the mood for much conversation, but Netta had become conscious of her abilities to communicate telepathically. So I made an effort to answer her questions. She was considerate of my health, and I began a healing process. Over time, we have built a mutually loving, supportive, and respectful relationship. I am here now to fulfill commitments I made at the soul level, to be a partner with Netta as a light worker for the age of ascension. This includes being a healer, at which I am very talented, as well as a teacher, which is more challenging for me. Sometimes I need to be more patient with my students, but then I'm a cat and they are human and it is hard to be patient with them. Question. You seem to have a very clear memory of some of your past lives. How is the recall of past lives important right now, or isn't it? Past and future and present are all simultaneous from the higher realms. It is possible to influence past and future lives by what we do in this life. If we are more loving in our current life, we can clear a lot of karma, and that will help our soul's extension in other lifetimes learn their lessons more quickly and lovingly. Question. Violet, how many past lives are you aware of? I don't think about them much and don't know really how to count them. I just become aware of aspects of them as I encounter situations in which it proves helpful. Do you find it helpful to remember past lives? Yes, it helps me clear up past impressions and automatic responses that don't really help much with a current life. Or it enhances a relationship. It helped me to remember who you were, and I remembered quite clearly what we had to work on. In this way, it helped me focus on what I was supposed to do. Question. Would you recommend that humans use past life regressions or other techniques to remember their past lives? There are no automatic, hard, and fast rules. The main rule now is to learn to go inside and follow your own intuition. This is a form of communication from your higher self, and that is where humans should be looking for guidance. Does a particular activity or project enhance or help you reach your soul's purpose for this lifetime, or does it distract from that? Only your own soul can tell you. Question. You mentioned being a healer in an ancient temple at a time when humans were telepathic. Do you know how and why humans, for the most part, lost this ability? Humans have not lost that ability. They have chosen in recent times not to develop it. I think they became afraid. Indigenous cultures did not make this choice. They continued to live close to nature and communicate with animals as individuals and with the spirits responsible for individual species and plants. Humans in more industrial societies, especially European cultures, became frightened by religious groups that tried to control them, and industrial city life took them away from nature. Question. How do you know all this history? Well, you and I lived some lives together during that time, and I also lived some lives separate from you during that time. It is easy for me to tell you about this because your awareness of memories has returned. Question. Is everyone equally telepathic? No. Even among the animals, some are more skilled than others. Some animals do have distance limitations in their abilities. Some tend to send only in certain forms, such as pictures or knowings, for example. It is partially related to beliefs and training by your mother. As an animal uses the ability, it grows and becomes more complete, taking on new dimensions. Question. I too have experienced this. When I began communicating, I didn't receive information in physical sensations, but I do now. Answer. It's the same for animals. There are variations. Sometimes it has to do with what we have learned in our past lives or what our immediate life purpose is. It also may have to do with our level of spiritual development or basic intelligence of the spirit merged into the form. That is, there may be some genetics involved. Question. What are your views on humans, Violet? How do you see us? And what is the most important thing you would like for humans to know from the feline perspective? Answer. The most important thing humans need to know is that we are all one. We are all consciousness. We are all from the presence. Physical form does not matter. Only spirit matters. When you look into the eyes of a feline or any other being, you need to see your soul. You need to see their soul. And because souls don't have forms, my soul and your soul are no different from each other. Spirit in human form is spirit that has forgotten itself for the most part. We animals are here to remind you, and many of us try on a daily basis to remind you. But you fall into forgetfulness so easily that we get frustrated. Or maybe I should say that I get frustrated. I know some who seem infinitely patient, such as Echo. When I look at a human, I see an opportunity for transformation, the awakening of a spirit to know that the earth is holy, that all life is equally holy, and that we must share in our love for each other and for the earth and take care of each other and the earth. Sometimes I'm very loving and patient and want to work to heal the earth-human relationship. At other times, I am angry about the disrespect and harm that humans have caused on this planet. Netta says I have a short fuse. I do anger quickly, but I see that as a virtue. There is room for moral outrage here. When I link with other felines around the planet, we do this about once a week, we share information on the energetic vibrations where we are living. And let me just say that despite all our many efforts to transmute energies for healing humans, other animals, and the earth, it is an uphill struggle. But we continue out of duty and love, and I try to learn patience. I'm excited about participating in this book because I hope to reach many humans in this way. I want them to feel the urgency of shifting themselves into new ways of being and new vibrational frequencies. The energies are here, and many have been and are being trained to work with them to clear blockages, balance people's energy fields, and expand their conscious understanding of what needs to happen and what their role is in the process. If you have animals in your life, especially felines, and if you are already starting to feel the shifts in energy, be aware that the animals are working with you, sending love, healing, and light, balancing your energies, transmuting dense energies to finer, clearer frequencies. Cats are especially talented in this way. Question: could you briefly comment on what life is like on other planets, other galaxies, other dimensions? I've often wondered if that is where animals go when they seem to be just sitting, staring off into space. Cats especially seem good at that. Can you let us in on any of your secrets? Netta said that as she read this question, Violet stared at her with wide open eyes. This is a big question. And Netta is asking Violet the cat, are you going to answer this? Are there secrets about this? So Violet finally answers, well, of course I won't tell secrets, because then they will no longer be secrets. However, I will answer the question. Felines do like eye contact. Not all other species like it. When we are staring off into space, sometimes we are speaking with our personal spirit guides or with other beings who do not have physical form at this time. Sometimes we are meditating with our eyes open. Sometimes we are having other spiritual experiences. And sometimes we're talking to other animals. Sometimes we're contemplating great truths. Sometimes we're admiring ourselves. Sometimes we have out-of-body experience. But most often our eyes are closed when we do that. As for other planets, galaxies, universes, and dimensions, that is too vast a subject. And Netta asks, won't you give us a taste of it? Answer, there is a planet where there are felines / humanoids who are highly spiritual beings. There are plants there that sing and produce other musical tones and vibrations. This planet is especially beautiful. The felinoids are quite physically powerful. They have a variety of colors and patternings on their fur. They stand on their rear legs, and their forelegs are like hands. The females are dominant in their culture. They are the healers and spiritual leaders. The males raise the young and are very nurturing. Both sexes like to hunt, although the females tend to do more of this. And this species is very reverent, seeing consciousness everywhere and living their existence entirely based on unconditional love. When they hunt, they pray for permission from the species they are hunting and offer many gifts to honor the individuals whose lives are sacrificed. There is little or no conflict there because of the total focus on love energy. Question, how do you know about this place? Have you been there? Yes, I lived many lives there in preparation for coming to Earth. These are my people. Someday I hope to return home to them. Question. Can you speak more about that weekly link-up you have with other felines around the planet? Is it with all felines everywhere, or just those who choose to be online, so to speak? Yes, it is like being online, to use your technology term, except the exchange is not limited to words, and we often merge into a kind of oneness so that everyone experiences what the others experience. It might feel like overload to a human at this point, but for us it is blissful and fairly easy to integrate the information. It is not all the cats on the planet doing this, but those who are here at this time to focus on planet-wide events. Sometimes we just check in. Always we share information. Always we offer prayers for each other, for our human families and friends, and for the Earth and all humanity and all other species working and living on the Earth at this time. There are also subgroups that work as teams, sometimes in specific localities or on specific projects. Netta knows about the Orange Cat contingent. Well, there is also an Oriental Cat contingent that includes felines of many Oriental breeds who have memories of the earlier times that I share. As guardians of the temples of old, we are working to bring back knowledge of healing techniques we developed with humans in those ancient times. That is why, part of why I'm here with Netta, who does healing work. Well, I think I better stop there. But I hope that what you have heard today has been enlightening, because there's so much information that comes across. And again, it's how and if we are ready to entertain such ideas with our childish notions, shall we say. I'll be back next week, and let's see where my eagle takes us. Bye for now.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction. Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.